Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our national training call. This morning is Monday, February 18th, 2019. This is Mike Riches hosting the call here from the Dallas, Texas area. Wow, we've got a lot of folks joining us here this morning, and we certainly want to welcome you as you call in from all across North America. We are so excited today to be joined by Mr. Alan Spence, who is the Director of Product Leadership over the Identity Theft Division. We will be hearing from Alan very shortly here. We've got some exciting information to share with you on the new identity theft product, and we're going to dive into that, and that's where we're going to spend the majority of our call here this morning. I do just want to cover a couple of quick announcements, some things that I hope are on your radar. First of all, we do have a B2B webinar, certification webinar, this Wednesday from 9 to 11. The information is on the events page. You can just look on the events page in the back office, and you can get the link to register for that webinar. We would highly encourage all of our folks to be on that webinar this Wednesday, especially if you have not yet been certified. But even if you've already been certified, just want to get on and have another learning opportunity that's a live, interactive event, we would love to have you a part of that. Again, you go to the events page, HarvardBenefits.com, Agent Access, and then click on the little calendar icon in the on the toolbar, little calendar icon on the toolbar. That will bring you to the events page. And take a look at that. We would love to have you on that webinar. We've got a lot of exciting things happening, especially with Legal Shield and ID Shield. This month has already been an excellent production month. I know that we've got some big things lined up for the last 10 days, or 11 days, I should say, of February. So we're well positioned to close out the month. I want you to look at kind of where you're at in your business, and our conversation, I think, here this morning will be very helpful for you. I think you're going to find that there's a lot of, you're going to have some great ammunition to go into companies and, have new conversations, because obviously we want to be prospecting every day, every week, every month. We want to be introducing our message into new businesses and new companies. But I think that you'll also find some information here that will be helpful in reigniting some conversations that you've already had with folks. So if you've met with a business, if you've met with an HR person or with an owner, and for whatever reason that stalled out, it didn't, you know, maybe that first meeting went well, but then it didn't translate into an enrollment, I think that you're going to find some great help here this morning on this call to go back into some of those groups, reignite those conversations, and let's get some business written in some of these accounts. I also think you're going to find some great help in going back into existing accounts, and I'm really excited for that. You know, one of the misnomers that people have about B2B sales in general, but certainly voluntary employee benefits, and that would include Legal Shield and ID Shield. One of the misnomers that people have, one of the misunderstandings, is that people think that an HR person is just going to let you in every year to go talk to their employees. And what we found is if you can build it on an open enrollment schedule, that might happen. But what we've also found is that when we present during an open enrollment schedule, when we go attend an open enrollment meeting, our participation is not as high as if we were to have a meeting with employees where all they're focused on is Legal Shield. And you can imagine that. You can imagine why. If they're sitting there thinking about health insurance and life insurance and dental and vision and, you know, all their other voluntary plans, and then all of a sudden Legal Shield is another option for them, that's just not going to get the same focus and attention as if all they're thinking about is Legal Shield and ID Shield. And so, so again, we call that off-cycle when we do something outside of open enrollment. And I'm not saying that if you have a company that says, hey, we want to bring in during open enrollment, that's necessarily a bad thing. But sometimes what we'll do is we'll start during open enrollment and then we'll do something off cycle, or the reverse. We'll say, we'd love to be here at open enrollment, but since that's not for another 6 months, can we do something now off cycle to introduce this benefit to your employees? And then, of course, we'll just kind of fall into the open enrollment schedule after that. And many times companies are A-OK with those kinds of options. So, so again, one of the misnomers is that if you go in today to a doctor's office and they have 20 employees and you sign up 10 of them, one of the misnomers is I can just show up 6 months from now or 12 months from now and they're going to let me back in. The reality is many times an HR person or an office manager or an owner won't necessarily be on 100% on board to let you back in. You're going to have to provide a reason for them to let you back in and talk to their employees. And there's no better reason than new stuff. If there are new features, if there's a new product, if there's something new, a change, something that's different, that's a great reason for a business to say, okay, yes, you can come back in and let's get you in front of our employees again. And really what it can be is just a great reason to secure another meeting with that HR person in which you can sell him or her on the benefit all over again. So I could go on for an entire training on account management, and you can't just show up 12 months later. You've got to have, you know, some dripping action going on where you're, you know, stopping in and bringing a gift, shooting an email, how are things going on a regular basis kind of throughout the year as well. But in any event, I think that we're going to have some great information here this morning that's going to be helpful on all those fronts. Let me, I'm going to just share, we did have, Mr. Bob Nissom have requested that we do a prayer request, and we are certainly happy to do that. Mr. Keith Van Ness, who is on our team, had a stroke last week. He's been in ICU for a week now. We certainly want to let Keith and his family know that we are thinking about them and that they are absolutely in our prayers. And Keith Van Ness, so if you can remember Keith in your prayers, and Bob, we appreciate you reaching out on that, and certainly that's what being a family is all about, is coming together in difficult times, and we want Keith and his family to know that we are absolutely thinking of him and that he is in our prayers. We also are going to talk about the Dallas Convention. We've got some exciting updates on that convention and that week, which is coming up in just over a month. We'll talk about that towards the end of the call. We do have Mr. Jim Tanner, Platinum Executive Director and $200,000 ring earner, standing by to share that. But as I mentioned earlier, we are so privileged this morning to have Mr. Alan Spence. Alan Spence is fairly new with Legal Shield, but he is the Director of Product Leadership for the Identity Theft product. And so, as you can imagine, Alan has been pretty busy here over the last few months that he's been a part of this company. And Alan, we certainly appreciate you taking some time this morning and joining our call. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Alan some questions and have him, you know, just kind of respond to some questions. Certainly, since I'm going to be moderating this morning, if any of you would like, you know, if you'd like further clarification or if you have a specific question for Alan, feel free to just shoot me an email, mike@mikeriches.com, and I can definitely put that on the slate. I do have a full slate of questions that we're going to go through dealing with this new identity theft product. And some of you I recognize are brand new. You're probably saying, I didn't realize there was a new identity theft product. And there is. There's as of January 1st, we are seeing some changes and really the actual migration has just started in the last week or so. We'll let Alan talk a little bit more in detail about that. But these are some very exciting updates. We have 18 new features that are a part of the Identity Theft Plan. And Alan, maybe we could just start with if you could take just a minute, tell us about this new plan. Tell us about the new features. You don't have to go through all 18. I know we've got some documentation available on lsengage.com where we can go through and learn about that. But if you could just talk about, you know, what a member, what an end user can expect with this new coverage, and then we'll get into, you know, migration and getting existing groups rolled over. But if I understand it correctly, Alan, and you can please correct me if I'm wrong, but if I go into a new group today, and I roll out the identity theft product, they're going to have this new product. And again, you correct me if I'm wrong. That was my understanding. But if you could tell us about that and what are some of the advantages, that would be great.
So that is correct, Mike, and thank you for having me. So the objective of everything is basically, one, let's clear the air with the products that are available. So the ID Shield product is still available for the network for individuals only. We're now encouraging and saying to the other network members that the ID Shield, same brand name, product is available to the B2B solution space. Reason being, we feel like this product is much more robust. One, it's with a different provider, so it's no longer offered by Kroll. And then if there are questions around it, I can kind of respectfully answer questions around that without getting into too much details. But just to let everyone know, like, yes, this new product that's available, it still has the same features and benefits as the Kroll-based plan, but this product has 18 additional incremental features. And like Mike said, I won't go into much detail unless there's certain specific questions about the product, and it is out there available for LS Engage. Along with that, and kind of segue into the when we talk about migration, is that the new plan or the ID Shield plan with 18 enhancements, it's functional only on the ID Shield Plus app. So I know there's been a confusion over saying the plan is called ID Shield Plus. It is not. Really just the app is called ID Shield Plus. And the reason for that, just for a housekeeping explanation, is it's more so because there are different service providers between the two plans. ID Shield Plus just helps separate and has direct access to the 18 additional features that's available. So, you know, I'm more than welcome to field questions. I know Mike has some questions for me, but, you know, I kind of want to help address and clarify some of the gaps that exist or clear the air on some confusion that may exist out there.
Very good. Would you mind just kind of going through and hitting some highlights, Alan, then on again, I know we're not going to spend our entire call going through these new features, but there's 18 new features. Sometimes that can be a little bit overwhelming. Can you maybe pick out two or three that you're personally excited about or that you feel good about and that we should feel good about? If we're meeting with an HR person today, you know, what are two or three of those new features that we can really get behind and say this is something that's brand new? Do you have an idea maybe of two or three that would stand out to you?
One, I would say, I'm looking up one particularly now, is the, what was a lot of the questions around? Sorry about that, Mike. I'm kind of looking for one in particular.
No, take your time. You're good. I know I'm putting you on the spot there, so take your time.
So one question is about the account takeover feature. So basically, account takeover is if anyone, the data source, how it works is it looks for a combination of when a member goes in and input their account number, their bank routing number, and things like that. There's an algorithm, a program that exists out there where there's a dark web where information is being exchanged, where consumers have been exposed to identity theft. And so this account takeover feature basically looks for a combination of different things, features and benefits, such as a person's first name, last four of a social security number, routing number, account number. And any form or any input that comes in where there's a match, that kind of lets us know there, or kind of lets the algorithm know there's an account takeover being in place, especially if it wasn't initiated by the person who owns the account, so to speak. So, you know, just features like that that just make it so much more robust. You know, usually people find out later that, hey, something happens to their account. But once we identify something that exists out there in the dark web, you know, dark web is kind of like this mass black hole that people say, well, what is it? There's an exchange that's taking place for those who have stolen information and is trying to take over a consumer's credit card or banking account. And so this is kind of looks for just patterns or codes that exist by name. And more often than not, people say, well, the full Social Security number. Well, no, this looks for any four algorithms together for Social Security. So it could be the first four digits. It could be the last four digits. So it doesn't take anything for granted. So that kind of proactiveness, I think, is a cool feature that's available out there. Another one is like medical ID information. So for an individual that has an insurance plan, and if any part of their policy number that's associated with them, with their name, you know, that's an account alert feature that's out there. So the overall broad arching that I like about this program is that it's now looking for pieces and parts of information associated with an individual, and then brings to the forefront that there's a high likely or high possibility that there's something that's transpiring that's somewhat illegal. You will get an alert. If it's yes, you indeed that went out there to open up an account, then you'll get the alert and know, like, yep, I did initiate this, no worries. But in the event that you did not initiate this, I think just how just more robust that it is, that's what I like about it overall. So really the algorithm and the programming, anything from account takeover, credit card, you know, it now looks for pieces and parts and chunks together. It doesn't have to have the whole credit card number or the whole name or the whole social. So that's the features that I really enjoy about this product.
That's really good. One thing that we know about the dark web is that it's often that the entire number is not sold or traded in its entirety. So, you know, for example, if someone is looking for a Social Security number, they might buy, you know, the first three digits from one party. They might buy the second two digits from another party, and then buy the last four from another party, and next thing you know, they've compiled my entire Social Security number.
Correct.
That's just how that information is being traded, and it's, you know, millions and millions of transactions going on to compile a full database of information on an individual. So that's really helpful, Alan. I appreciate you sharing that. Let me ask you about one of these features of the new plan that I think is really interesting, and if you could maybe just give a little detail on this. It's the high-risk application and transaction monitoring. If you could maybe explain that a little bit, you know, what is that high-risk application and transaction? What would that refer to, and what kind of monitoring is being done on that front? Because that's new. That's something that we haven't had before, and it's frankly it's sexy as well. You know, when you're talking to a decision maker of a company or a group of employees. That just sounds really good. One of the things that we provide is high-risk application and transaction monitoring. Could you explain that a little bit to us?
Sure. And that's going to be part of a phase two to expound on that as for what we're going to call in addition to the account takeover. So basically what you can do is set threshold limits, and that's going to be the overall brand. It's going to evolve from that. And so say, for instance, you put an account number in, and you want to be alerted of anything that a transaction that's above $500 or $1,000 or $10,000. It will alert the individual, like, hey, there's something that's happening with a particular account number or card number associated with that. So I just think that's a cool feature that offers within itself, because you can kind of set and control the thresholds if anything is happening within an account within itself. More often than not, really how thieves go in and compromise identity and steal monetary transaction is really, it's in increments. It's never one whole lump. Yeah, it does happen. But more often than not, what they've learned is that they try to go in and just, you know, take small chunks at a time. So this kind of sets a control, like, hey, it's under $500. They know that they'll be reimbursed from their bank or card holder. But this, you know, it just sets the feature where you're now in control of what you will see and what type of transactions that will occur in your account. And if something is happening that you need to alert about, it's happening immediately.
So that's on existing accounts, if I'm understanding that correctly. Like I could put my American
Existing accounts,
on there.
And it does have some extension. There's some features, but we're trying to add more to the program. It does have some of benefits and features, like if a new account is opened up, and again, it goes to personal identifiable information with name, social. If that's something happened, a new account is opened up, you will get alerted as well.
Very good. No, that's great. Let's talk about the, you know, what we know is the most important feature of the identity theft plan. And let me take just a step back and talk to our group here. I think from a sales standpoint, when you and I are going in to, again, we're sitting down with that decision maker today and we're explaining these benefits, I personally think that one of the mistakes that we could make is getting too detail-oriented with all of these features. There are already a lot of great features as part of the ID Shield product, and certainly there are these 18 new features. The worst mistake that we could make, though, is to sit down with a decision maker and say, now let me go through each of these 36 features one at a time and explain each of these to you. You know, you're going to lose them after three or four. So what we've always kind of done is used, again, the flash of having new stuff. That's always great. People like having new stuff. But really, when we get down to it, where we want to spend our time is on the two or three features that are going to be most commonly used, that are going to stand out the most. And there's no question that the most important feature has always been and always will be restoration. You know, we can monitor all day long, and that's great, and we love monitoring, and especially with these new features that are being added here, ID Shield has hands down, by far, the most robust monitoring that's available, period. I mean, there's no question about that. And that's great, but we can monitor all day long, but what most people are going to want to know when we go meet with a group of employees and we're rolling out these plans, what most people are going to want to know is, what is this plan going to do if I have a problem, if I become a victim? So I want to talk about the most important feature has always been, always will be, restoration. Obviously, there is a change as far as Kroll not providing the restoration with this new product. But, Alan, if you could just talk about the investigators that ID Shield has brought in.
Yep.
Tell us about them. Tell us about their, you know, obviously they've got great credentials. But if you could just kind of give us some an idea of what to expect if one of our members has an issue today, and they call, what's going to happen, and who are they going to be working with?
So hands down, you know, there are different licensed investigators that we have. The ones were Kroll. The legacy ones were in the Kroll plan. They were Kroll employed. We have hired our own licensed investigators. We call them CNR, credit and restoration investigators. And basically they have the same credentialing, the same training and same certifications as it was from with the Kroll plan. So as far as, you know, is there something new or different, or are they not as strongly licensed or strongly trained? That is incorrect. I mean, in a day of information age and training, you know, it's a wide open net and anyone can be trained, certified, and put through the rigors of the process. So the same level of customer service that was put forth with the Kroll plan, we currently have it still, and it's still continuing with our plan. They are employees of ours at Legal Shield. They go through the certification training. I'm actually working with our data provider because they have history in the identity theft space, and we're trying to identify curriculum and other training things to even go above and beyond what they're currently licensed now. And not just from saying, hey, we just want, you know, 20 certifications, but we just think, just to make us much smarter, much more on our toes, and just constantly doing continued education and development, we just want to make sure that we are at the forethought or the forefront of what's happening out there as far as servicing and repairing and restoring a customer identity. And, you know, this leads to an overall bigger picture with me joining the organization, what I would like to do. You know, as you're comparing and you're, you know, we've been compared to other identity theft providers, we want to make sure the products within our plans are relevant to the needs of consumers and also anticipate the future needs of consumers. Meaning, in the past, you just have, you know, what was said is like 30 features and benefits within a plan. You know, not necessarily saying that those features or benefits the right ones for consumers, or if that's not something that resonate high on a sale. So when you're going in talking about the opportunity to be a potential partner with Legal Shield and Identity Shield, we want to make sure that we're at the forefront saying, hey, what's happening out here in a dark web, or what's happening in the space of identity theft? What features and benefits out there could benefit the consumer the most? But we also want to start beginning to test and make sure, like, this idea that we're doing, you know, in this box, it is relevant to those outside the box as well. So something we're going to start doing and I'm implementing now is that we basically have a roadmap of innovation products that we've kind of somewhat identified. But we want to begin to go out there and test it with consumers who are not rejecters of identity theft plan. You know, they hear a statement saying this is what the plan is, or this is what this product is within the plan, you know, and we want to make sure that they say, yep, I see a value in this, or no, not really, because we do want to be on the cutting edge of having and offering our product. So our product will be evolving. We're going to get it on a constant rhythm where really I want to say every 6 months to really less than a year, there's going to be new features and benefits offered within the plan. So some things that we're learning as technology become more savvy, you know, some features and benefits could be covered by another product, but we can interject something else in there that's much more robust, much more useful, and is a better selling proposition from you when you're talking to HR and benefits representatives.
Now, that's fantastic. That's good. And I should have mentioned at the start of the call here, Alan is new with the organization, but certainly not new to this industry. He's worked with big brands and big businesses before, businesses like Borden Dairy, L'Oreal, Jim Beam, and he's really taking some of the success and the things that he's implemented at those other brands, he's bringing them to Legal Shield and ID Shield, and ID Shield specifically. So, Alan, I appreciate that answer. I want to before we move off of that restoration, I just want to make sure that we're being very clear with our folks here because, again, one of the things that comes up, as you know, one of the questions that comes up is what is the difference between ID Shield and LifeLock? And I agree with you. That doesn't need to be a 30-minute answer. We could definitely go through each point of coverage and talk about differences, but the big answer has always revolved around restoration. And I use LifeLock as an example, but that could be InfoArmor, that could be Privacy Guard or Xander or many others, you know, of these coverages that are out there. But one of the things that we've always been able to hang our hat on with ID Shield is that someone's going to have access to a licensed investigator, and that person won't just coach them on the phone, but that the member is going to be signing a limited power of attorney, or at least have the option to sign a limited power of attorney, so that investigator can take over the process for them. And that, just to be clear, that hasn't changed. That's absolutely still the case, even though, you know, these are different investigators with the same qualifications. The process has not changed as far as what a member would go through. Is that correct?
That is correct. Those steps that you just mentioned, those are implemented today and currently. And so we want to make sure it's not just a handoff to them saying, hey, we're giving directions what to go do, but we're also providing a service as well. And then in addition to that, even with the new insurance policy that we have on the plan, it's serviced and provided by AIG. You know, it goes a step beyond of, you know, at least restoring and covering costs associated with challenges that happen with identity being compromised, with the help, if there are limited values associated with, but if it's associated with lost income, child care services, if there's travel that's needed, airline tickets or things like that, there are things within the plan, you know, within this insurance policy that helps and expands to help with the restoration process. So it's not just so much as a handoff that we want the consumer or member to go do, but we do take the steps to, you know, with the power of attorney to sign off from a protection and legal standpoint that since we are licensed investigators, we knew exactly, you know, how to navigate the waters and the questions to ask in restoring the person's identity. We know the steps to take. And that journey is not done alone. So that's the beautiful thing about this product is that, you know, is this not like we're trying to coach? No, we're taking the steps with them, and they're either doing the steps on our own.
I love it. Okay, good. So let me before we move off of the coverage itself, I do want our folks here to be very confident in taking this coverage into businesses, you know, this week, this month, this year, confident that this coverage is better than anything that we've ever offered before. And then I think you're hearing from Alan this morning is going to continue to get better. It's going to continue to evolve. And I love what he shared about, you know, we're all about looking and asking ourselves, what can we do to make sure that we remain the best coverage out there? And I love that kind of forward thinking. Let me just direct you, if you're on the internet, if you can go to lsengage.com, and if you go to resources, that resources tab, I know many of you are very familiar that we are huge fans of all the information that's available there in that resources tab. The drop down that you're looking for is called ID Shield Group. And there's some great information there. There's some frequently asked questions that you can look at for business solutions. There's some new flyers and brochures and flat sheets and you know, very detailed proposals that you can go through and download. And they all are great. I mean, they've really done a great job with these materials. Two of the just documents that I'll point your attention to is where it says new ID Shield plan features comparison. New ID Shield plan features comparison, and it's about two-thirds of the way down. New ID Shield plan features comparison, that's the one sheet that shows the 18 new features on the left and then all the retained features on the right. That's a great sheet if you are working with an existing group and you're trying to get back in the door. You're trying to get an enrollment with their employees, and they say, what's new? Boom, there's your sheet. If you want more detail on that, I would also point you to the next document, which is new ID Shield Plus plan features description. So you've got, you know, the plan features comparison is just the one sheet. The plan features description is a little bit longer. Let me look here. It's, what, four or five pages. And it really kind of goes through and gives an explanation of what some of these new features mean. And so, and it looks like I'm just looking at this. Page 5 is kind of the comparison chart as well. So that's more detail for you, and you can certainly, I would encourage you to go through that and spend some time looking at those documents. Alan, what I want to talk about now, I want to transition into the migration. And
yes.
So we know that if someone goes and opens a new group today, they're going to be talking about these new ID Shield features of the new plan. But what about our existing groups? We've got a lot of existing groups that are going to be, I know, migrating over throughout this year. When did that start? When is that going to take place? How can we know what to prepare our groups for? If you could talk about that, that would be great.
Sure. So what you said earlier in the introduction of the call, Mike, that was correct. The migration started the February 12th. And basically, those that are associated with groups that have been enrolled after April 16th of 2016, those groups will be migrated over. And I just want to be clear on identifying which groups will be impacted by the migration. So if they were if they existed before April 16th, 2016, they will not be migrated over. Those that were signed up and came on board after that date of April 16, 2016, they will be migrated over. There's a team in ADA that's going through the list of groups and identifying them to address the migration schedule. Migration is expected to be completed by March 30 or 31st of this year. So it's happening very fast and somewhat very furious. But what we've done is prepared some literature, emails, and communications to address the B2B space, whether it be the benefits administration, managers. So there's a letter that's addressed from Jeff, the CEO, saying what's happening and what the new features and benefits are for the plan. So the messaging spin that we're saying is like, hey, there's an opportunity to upgrade our members to a better plan. This is what they are. There are links within the email. I share them with Mike. He'll forward them out later. Within that, that has some frequently asked questions, the 18 new features and benefits, a visual look at the new app for the ID Shield Plus, and then timing, when groups will be migrating over. There's a team that will be reaching out to you individually for those who manage the groups to let you know what they identify timing where these groups will migrate over. Then there's another letter communicating that when we send to employees, it is basically telling them like, hey, same thing, similar content that's for the benefit manager, saying you've been migrating over to the Legal Shield new plan. It's walking them through the steps, what they will need to do to unlock or activate the features and benefits. The unfortunate part about it is the old app, once they're migrated over, so the current app, if they have it on their phone today, it will not be active for them. They will have to go into the iOS store or Google Android store to download the new ID Shield Plus app to unlock the features and benefits. To activate their account, they will have to be in a web browser, either on a computer or web browser on their phone, meaning iOS, Safari, or a Google Chrome, to re-authenticate their account. So that's the only, we would say, pain points, but it's gone through pretty smoothly, that we're asking the consumer to do, meaning they will have to re-enter their information, meaning credit cards, account information, Social Security number, everything else going that needs to be inputted, that needs to be monitored. Is there anything else that I'm missing, Mike, that you need brevity or clarity on?
No, but, you know, let's just make sure that we're, excuse me, being, I want to make sure that everybody is understanding that. So migration will take place for every group that has come on board, not just that you've enrolled, because we do a lot of re-enrollments, but if it's been a group that came into existence from April, did you say 16th?
I didn't know that.
April 16th, 2016. So basically, almost the last 3 years, those are the groups that are going to be migrated. Let me just ask you as a point of clarification on that. Will groups that are older than that ever be migrated? Do we have the option to migrate them, or what are the thoughts there?
So you don't have the option to migrate them. There are things that we're working on for contractual reasons, why that's the reason why there's a cutoff date of groups that are migrating and groups that are not migrating over. For contractual reasons, we cannot move them over to the new plan. The leadership team is now working on something to try to help resolve that, where we're trying to get them over, but that's, you know, more to come. That's down the road, and right now I really can't talk too much in detail on that. But there's a plan in the future that, yes, they will migrate over. When in the future, right now, that's unknown.
Okay. Well, and that's okay. We understand that. So, so again, we're only talking about migrating groups that are effective April 16th, 2016 or later, and each of those groups is going to be migrated by the end of March, March 30th, you said, of this year.
Correct.
So, I mean, really within the next 6 weeks, by the time that we're all in Dallas, we're going to have those groups, again, that have been written in the last 3 years or so, migrated over. Okay, good. And I'm glad you talked about pain points, because the reality is when you have a migration like this, there are going to be things that we need to be aware of. And certainly the fact that members are going to have to go enter their information again, it's not going to seamlessly come over from the old app. They're going to have to download a new app and enter their information again. That's important for us to know. Now, again, you know, as with anything, we can look at that as a challenge or we can look at that as an opportunity. And to me, that's an opportunity because you've got, again, a very big reason to get in front of these employees. You've got a very big reason to set up a meeting, and anytime you set up a discussion, a meeting, or webinar, or whatever it is with employees, whenever you have that, it's also an opportunity to sign up new employees as well. And so I hope that we are very conscious of that. I hope that we're looking at some of those groups that have been involved in the last 3 years or since April 16th of 2016. And we've got a strategy, or that we're putting together a strategy to go in and set up some employee meetings where we can help employees do just that. And so that's good, Alan. I'm glad that you pointed that out. Let's see here. So we're finished with that migration by March 30th. Older groups, which would also include any groups that are on the old legacy identity theft plan before ID Shield was even an option, that's going to be further down the road, correct? And we don't have a date on that, and that's fine, but just so that we're understanding, groups that were written initially before April 16, 2016, leadership is working to migrate those over to the new plan, but that's further down the road, not right now in Q1.
Correct.
Okay, good. I love that. Any other thoughts that you have on that at all? I'm going through some of the questions here that folks are asking, and I want to make sure that you've covered most of them, but let me just make sure that we're covering them all.
I had a quick question. This is Mark Riches.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
On that migration, is it when the group was written or the members in that group? So let's say I had a group I wrote 6 years ago, but I've recently added members in the last year. Will the whole group not be migrated, or will just some of the members that were written in the past, will the group be split up like that?
Let me get an answer for you on that. My understanding is when the group was written, because that group is under, I guess, an umbrella plan.
Okay.
And so it starts with the group. So we are not splitting members up from groups. So how we're looking at it as, we're looking at it internally, what groups are migrating over. So I'm assuming, and I will get a clarification for the answer, is like when that group was written.
Not written.
And that's good, Alan. If they try to tell you anything different, you fight for that, because that's the right way to do it. Keep the whole group on the same plan. That's good.
Beautiful thing about it is if the group, I mean, and not that we're hiding anything or keeping things from people. That's not the spirit of this. But really, other than going into getting more business, there isn't a reason really to talk about migrations with that group, because they're not impacted by anything. So you can just traditionally service that group from just adding more employees onto the plan versus, hey, there's something going on. I don't know if you know or don't know. That really isn't a reason or any advantageous proposition to present that to them.
Well, and that's helpful to know. I think too, you know, there's a mental shift or a paradigm shift that we have to have as well. And we're asking our reps to be very responsible about this, because when we say, hey, there's new features, that sounds really exciting and it's wonderful. Obviously they're not available for everyone yet. And so what we want everyone to understand is, yes, there are new features, and yes, that's fantastic, but ID Shield, the way that it's been, has been an A-plus product. So it's not like we took a bad product, we're trying to make it better. We're taking an A-plus product, and we're making it an A++ product. So,
correct.
So if you're going into a company and, you know, it's an existing group that signed on before April 16th, you know, the last thing we want anybody to do is walk into a group and say, well, there's a new plan, but you can't have it yet. Yeah, we want you to be 100% confident with the old ID Shield plan, just like you're 100% confident with the new ID Shield plan. And guys, listen, I know that when we're in a transition state like this, sometimes that can be a little bit confusing. And don't forget, you've got help on this. That's why we're doing this call. You've got folks that can help you navigate this. For many of you, it's not as confusing because you're just writing new business. And so all you have to focus on is the new plan. But for some of us who have been around for a while, we're going to have groups that are on the old plan. We're going to have groups that are on the new plan. And we're asking you to just be able to navigate that. We're asking you to keep in mind kind of what's happening with each of these groups and then present it in a positive and favorable way.
I don't think it's any different than, you know, we have groups like I have the state of Louisiana, and they don't offer the newer legal plan yet, which has the, you know, family divorce coverage and name change and that kind of thing. But I understand that. I understand what coverage they have. But I think changes like this are so important for maintaining a competitive edge in the market. And Jeff Bell explained on our call recently that one of the biggest reasons for this is Kroll wasn't really being competitive. They weren't adding some of the features and benefits that were necessary to stay competitive in the market, or they were unwilling to do that. And, you know, we could have stayed with Kroll and said, well, we'll just, you know, fall into a place of non-competitiveness, or we could, you know, make a change. And, you know, change is painful, and it takes a lot of communication, a lot of effort, a lot of time and money. But it's worth it because in the end, we want to have the best identity theft solution out there. And so I think that's an important message for all of us to understand that, you know, it's like, oh, so our members have to go and, you know, download a new app and enter all their information again. Yeah, that's the painful part, but that's how we stay competitive. That's how we have the very best solution available out there and stay on that competitive edge. And I'm excited about bringing it in-house in the sense that, you know, there's better controls and better regulation on everything. So I'm really excited about it, and I'm excited. The reason we're bringing it in-house is to make sure that we have all the features and benefits necessary to protect people's identity.
Exactly. And not just that. That's a great point. I just think it as overall, for those who haven't gone into their account to kind of update some things, this is kind of like a maintenance, you know, spring cleaning. I look at it that way. To kind of make sure information is still accurate, it's still current, it's still up to date. You know, if accounts number somewhat changed or expiration date changed, that, you know, everything is kind of like a spring cleaning. And it's a good way for the member to go in and, you know, make sure like, yep, I want to still check this. Or, yeah, I had a new credit card added within the last time I've done it. I can add it now. And then it also kind of, I don't want to say the word force, but it encourages them to go in and see like, wow, I've never seen this before. Because the whole either web page and app is a little bit, it's the same but different, meaning the look and feel is the same as far as like colors and layout because we wanted to make it seamless. But as they say, new features that begin to get unlocked to them, they're like, wow, I've never seen that before. So that's the beautiful thing about it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Do we know the number of members that typically have downloaded the app? And I thought it was kind of a low number anyway, 30% or something like that. But
so it's evolving. So we've completed what we call the D2C, so direct to consumers. So us as Identity Shield have sold directly to consumers. So that first number was low because, again, we're sending an email out to consumers and we ask them to do something. So that's really based on, everyone's inundated with emails. You know, going in, reading the email, and doing the next step. The number is growing, and so as migrations are happening daily and weekly, you know, I think the entry point, if you go back to monitor, like, what did they do, about 30%. But then if you go back a week later, the number's growing.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of, you know, how you read your emails and how do you respond to emails to have a call of action, so to speak.
Good. And Alan, let me just point out one more document that I really like on here. For those of you that are going to be going into groups and to help them activate this plan, it's actually right now it's the first document under that ID Shield group dropdown. This is on lsengage.com, and it's called New ID Shield Activation Steps, and it's a great little document. That's just a one-page flyer, walks them through how to set up their account and enter their information. That's another useful one, guys, that we can be using in groups. Again, that's called New ID Shield Activation Steps. It's the first document first link under that ID Shield group drop-down. Alan, one thing that we haven't talked about but that is important to mention is pricing. And just so that we're clear, for any of these groups that are migrating over, so again, if they've been a group since April 16th, 2016, and they're migrating over here in the next 5 to 6 weeks, the pricing does not change. Am I correct in saying that?
That is correct. So, you know, you're getting more features and benefits for the same price. So no change in price, no future change coming up. You know, trying to blindside it, it's a 30-day price change, no change in price.
Good. And let me just ask you, let's talk individuals for a second. And when I say individuals, I'm talking about, you know, non-group members. If someone goes to, you know, my hub page right now, they have the option under the ID Shield to choose either the ID Shield family or ID Shield individual or ID Shield solutions family, which would be this new plan, or ID Shield solutions for an individual. Is the plan, do you know, is the plan to keep those four options for individuals signing up? Or
so right now, yes, the plan is to keep those four options until other things happen. But right now, when they see the ID Shield solutions, the goal and the spirit of it is to be for the B2B solution space only. But they will see four items in the checkout.
Okay. We just want to be clear on that. So Legal Shield is saying that the goal would be to have non-group people sign up for the non-group plan, but they do have the option on a hub page to sign up for the plan that has more coverage too. So, you know, that as long as that option is available, someone could potentially choose that. But we understand, you know, your job is to say that we would want to steer them towards the ID Shield.
Correct. That is, yes, correct.
But fair enough. We can take that for what it's worth. And then, look, one other question just came in here from Evan Westensko. I think this is a good question because this is an item where there could be some confusion. As you know, we've previously had, or with the legacy ID Shield product, let's call it, there is a $5 million service guarantee. I know that with the new coverage that has gone to an unlimited service guarantee, which we understand that, but where there might be a little bit confusion is part of one of those new features is a $1 million reimbursement insurance plan that's provided by AIG. And I want to be real clear, and I'm going to ask you to maybe differentiate those, but I want to be real clear, the $1 million reimbursement insurance plan is not replacing the $5 million service guarantee. Those are two very different things. What is replacing the $5 million service guarantee is an unlimited service guarantee. And you know, for those of you that may not be the best at math, unlimited is more than $5 million. That was never a $5 million reimbursement plan in the first place. A service guarantee just simply means, and again, I'll let you clarify this, but to my understanding, a service guarantee is we'll spend X dollars to make sure that you're whole, to make sure that your identity has been fully restored back to pre-theft status. And what ID Shield here is saying with this new plan is that there is no limit, which there really wasn't a limit under the $5 million. It just sounded good on paper, but it is unlimited, and we are going to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to clean up the mess. But if you could just maybe, Alan, talk about that $1 million reimbursement insurance policy,
sure,
which is pretty common with plans, and let me maybe put you on the spot because the question that we're going to get is, if we get into that at all, if the investigators do all the work in restoring the identity on behalf of the member, why would there be a reimbursement plan? Why is there,
sure,
a need for that? And if you could maybe speak to that, that would be helpful.
Sure. So in some instances, there are costs associated for the consumer or, in this case, employee that needs to take place. So say, for instance, if it's required for them to travel or testify in court, I don't know exactly what that is. There is a $2,000 travel expense that's covered in that policy. If someone has to worry about child care or elderly care, you know, there's $2,000 allotted for that occurrence within that plan. You know, if they don't have a legal shield plan, and there's some legal expenses that's associated with it, that covers $1,000 of the legal consultation in that plan as well. There's a lost wage addendum in there where it's $1,500 per week for a maximum of 5 weeks. And then there's an aggregated limited insurance policy where we said the $1 million policy. So in the event that there are costs associated with the restoration process, that plan is in place as a coverage to cover those costs, and it sets the limits to them in that instance. For the most part, a lot of it can be taken care of by the CNR representative, you know, pretty seamless. But in the event that things, you know, don't go as planned, the costs associated with it, that policy is in place and in force to cover those expenses up to a limited amount.
Yeah, good, 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 good. Thank you for clarifying that, and for really just for being on the call here this morning, Alan, and for sharing with our group. We know that your plate is extraordinarily full right now. I mean, folks, if you can imagine, this is the guy that's overseeing, you know, all of the migration and you know, this whole process, and yet he's willing to take an hour out of his schedule to join us on a call here. So, Alan, we really do appreciate your time and your effort and your energy. Here's the other good news is we've got your email address, so if we have questions that come up, you know, after the call, we can reach out to you if that's okay.
And, yes.
And certainly we want to make sure that we're providing direction and support for all of our folks that are out there, you know, working with these companies. But we're not going to end the call just yet, folks. We're going to go a little bit over this morning, but I do want to, again, thank Alan Spence for his time, and then take the call out to Boston, Massachusetts, where we have standing by Platinum Executive Director and $200,000 ring earner, Mr. Jim Tanner, to talk about the Dallas convention that is upcoming. And I am getting some questions in here on this insurance plan. I'm going to give you some documentation after Mr. Tanner shares that will answer some of these questions that I've got coming in. But let me make sure I'm giving you the right thing on that, Jim. And while you're speaking, if that's okay, about this all-important event. And if you felt like being on the call this morning was important to get some of these updates, this is just a small taste of the importance of being in Dallas, you know, hearing it directly from Legal Shield, because I know that these are going to be some of the topics, and there's going to be other things that are going to be changing that are positive, as Mark Rich has said, you know, that are good for the future, but that you definitely want to be involved and hear directly from the horse's mouth. And I'm not calling anybody a horse, but if I could go to Mr. Jim Tanner to talk about that. Jim, we really appreciate your being on the call this morning.
Mr. Richards, thank you so much. I'm just taking notes here. I know the questions are coming in, and I echo what Mr. Mark Richards said, the excitement about being on the front end, the leading edge of innovation, because we always have been. I remember 15 years ago when the concept of identity theft was presented to us, that we were going to go into the marketplace and we were going to protect families from identity theft, and that just sounded so foreign. So if anybody here today says, I don't think I got every detail of that, that's okay. We've been there before. All you need to know is that we continue to offer the very best in the marketplace, and that's what allows us to be the very best in the marketplace, because we are aligned with world-class service providers. Folks, you're going to hear more about that in Dallas, Texas. You're going to hear from the top producers, the top, just the top people in Legal Shield. And our organization is going to come together for the first time in 2019 for the largest gathering of Legal Shield representatives, actually in the history of Legal Shield. This will be our biggest event. There's going to be an incredible amount of information relayed. You heard from Jeff Bell on this call a couple of weeks ago. I hope you listened to the replay if you haven't. You're hearing all this great information. We are rolling towards Dallas, and I want to make sure that everybody listening to my voice this morning, because, of course, we're growing. Many of you maybe are hearing about Dallas for the first time. Well, the good news is you didn't miss Legal Shield's International Convention, but you do need to get registered, and it's easy.
just log into your agent's back office and click on the calendar icon in your toolbar and scroll down, and you'll see that you can register for the 2019 Dallas International Conference. It's going to be a phenomenal event, incredible speakers and trainers. I'm excited. We don't have a tremendous amount of time this morning, but I'm excited about the special live training that's happening in Dallas on Wednesday, the 27th, leading into the convention with Mr. Mike Riches, Abby Parker, Rachel Lawton, Darius French. I mean, just so many. You're talking about millions of dollars in annual income right there in that group of trainers, B2B trainers, and you can be in a room with those folks. You can register for that as well under the calendar icon, but make sure you have your registration for the Dallas Convention. If you're looking for, by the way, Airbnbs to share with other members of the team, if you're looking to ride with somebody into the area, whatever you might want to coordinate on, we also have a message board link right in the calendar that's going to be coming up. Well, the link is up now. You can start posting. If you want to share a hotel room, if you want to reach out to the local Dallas folks and find out where the best places are to eat and stay, all of that, you can do that right on our message board. But no matter what you do, do this. Get registered today. Make sure that you have your tickets so that you can be in attendance with us. We're going to have a phenomenal breakout event for our organization as part of the convention. And you're just going to hear about all of the incentives, trips. Of course, we're finishing the Cabo incentive trip that we've been working on for the last several months. A lot of us are basically mentally packing our bags for Cabo. But when we get to Dallas, you're all going to hear about where we go next. So there's a lot of excitement coming. Mr. Mike Riches, I'm just excited that we're going to get to get this entire family back together from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, all under one roof in Dallas, Texas. And it's coming up in just a handful of weeks. So that's the final weekend of March, Thursday, March 28th through Saturday, March 30th, 2019. Get your tickets right now, and we'll see you in Dallas. And Mike Riches, I'll turn the time back over to you, sir.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you to everyone for being on the call. For those who had questions, I had a couple questions come in on the insurance policy. That document that I told you about earlier is the new ID Shield Plus plan features description. That's the 5 or 6 page document that really goes through and it describes each of those features. That has a whole paragraph on that $1 million insurance policy, and it talks about the four things that would cover: any reasonable costs, any lost wages, legal defense fees and expenses, and then unauthorized electronic fund transfer as well. So if that doesn't answer your question and you've got more, again, hit me up, because we can take those questions to Alan and get answers. But the reality is, when the identity theft product was first rolled out, there were four features, and the one was you had your credit report, the two was you had credit monitoring, three was restoration, and then the fourth was this insurance policy. And I never really talked about the insurance policy, because again, to me, if you're sitting there telling them that a licensed investigator is going to do all the work in restoring your identity, then most members are not going to need to use that insurance policy. There are exceptions, and Alan mentioned, if a member did have to go appear in court, for example, that's something that might not be able to be done with a limited power of attorney by an investigator. So if that member had to go appear in court, in a different state, they'd have travel costs, they might have lost wages involved in that, which would be covered under that insurance policy. But I typically just didn't get into that. I typically just talked about restoration and monitoring. And you know what? Today, now that we have 36 features, guess what I'm still talking about? Restoration and monitoring, and really in reverse order. Monitoring is great, most robust monitoring plan out there. And then, of course, the restoration is even better. And one thing that we have to do is take some of this information, digest it, and then share it in a way that is simple and straightforward with the decision makers and employees that we're talking to. And so I hope that this morning has been helpful for you. Some of you might need to go back and listen to this call again. Some of you are going to go get some help in reading the documentation that's available. And then, again, some of you might have some further questions, and we can reach out and get answers on those as well. But again, the biggest thing is, I love what Mark Rich has shared about your level of confidence. You need to be confident going into any of these groups, whether it's a new group, whether it's a group that will be migrating, or whether it's a group that's not yet migrating. And I want you to be super confident going into these groups that you are offering the best plan, that you've got the best solution for identity theft. Out of many of them that are out there, that you've got the best solution for identity theft that is available. And if you'll speak with that confidence, guess what? The people that you're speaking to will feel that confidence. And that's what they're going to need to feel to be able to sign up. And that's, again, if you've ever had a reason to be confident, well, I'll tell you what, we just gave you a bunch more. And so take that confidence in, keep it simple, keep it clear, and help them to understand, help these members understand that when they sign up for this coverage, that they're going to be protected, that their families are going to be protected, and that they won't have to deal with the fallout from an identity theft case. And they've got, hands down, the best coverage to protect them. Again, a big thank you to Mr. Alan Spence for speaking on the call this morning, and Mr. Jim Tanner as well. We appreciate each of you plugging in on the call. We've got a great week coming up. Well, I know we'll see many of you on the webinar that we've got this Wednesday, and we will go from there, and we'll visit with all of you, I'm sure, in the coming days. God bless every one of you. Thank you again for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.